Welcome to this episode of the ACF Youth Culture Podcast, where we explore how God is part of life, honest and real. My name is Brian, and I'll be talking to...
Hey, I'm Autumn.
Autumn is one of our adult volunteers who works in the high school ministry with me. And we're going to be just, talking kind of how she ended up with us.
Yeah.
So let's get started and get to know Autumn a little bit. Tell us about yourself. Start with your childhood. No, you don't have to do that. How long you been in Alaska? What do you do when you're not helping out with us at Youth Culture?
Well, I lived here when I was, moved up here when I was 12. So I did middle school and then all of high school here. And then I left for college and I worked down in the lower 48 and then moved back about a year and a half ago, which seems crazy. It feels like that was a week ago. But it's been a good year and a half now and back into my second winter. For those of you who don't live in Alaska, it's -2 outside right now. So we're really in the thick of it.
It's warmer than it's been.
Oh, we have the sunshine back a little bit, which is such a blessing. But do I have time where I'm not doing youth culture stuff?
You have. I want to say your volunteerism and work is not a real job. You have a job in which you've gone to college for, if we put it that way.
Yeah, very true, very true.
So tell us about that.
So I went to school to be a high school English teacher. It was what I wanted to do my entire life. When I was little, I'd make little worksheets for my younger sisters, to their horror. So it was always my plan, and I got through college in pretty quick in 3 years, and taught high school down in Colorado. I did my student teaching first in Pennsylvania, and then taught in Colorado, and then by the grace of God came back up here.
Before we get into that, I'm just curious, favorite type of literature, authors, do you have one?
No, it changes so much. But an author that I have loved for a really long time is Louise Erdrich. And she is a native author who just writes beautiful stories. I laugh and cry when I read her books, and people are looking at me like, is she laughing at her book? Like at a piece of paper? But oh my gosh, yeah, she just has a really beautiful way of looking at the world.
And then... as an English teacher, what do you, if you had to, I don't know what the word, encapsulate what you want to accomplish with your students other than just getting through the curriculum, what would that be?
Yeah, well, that was kind of interesting. When I was teaching in Colorado, my first year there, my first year as a teacher ever, we had kind of these standardized tests, and my kids actually performed comparatively to everybody else really well, like really well. They were doing just fine. And my department chair asked me, he's like, you know, great job. Like, what are you in there doing? Because you don't really know how to do anything yet because I was so new. And I was like, I don't even know what's on this test. Like, we're just talking about life in there. Like, we're just processing what it's like to be a human, what it means to exist, different ways to express that and think about that. So my goal for them was always just to get to the heart of who they are, and what they want to see for themselves, and really break down all kind of that school game stuff. You can really learn how to play the game.
Oh yeah, yeah. The there's a like as an English teacher, you have to grade right their thoughts, and a lot of times, especially in curriculum, there's a matrix that. And like you, it's like. Reading literature is not matrix. It's just what you talked about. And to have a few students maybe catch a glimpse.
Well, something that I actually had in a lot of our matrixes, I guess, was kind of a line of like, how can you break the matrix? Like, how do you break the norm or the kind of expected thing based on the stuff that we've been looking at? So
you're an English teacher and you came up here and you were continued to be an English teacher?
Yeah, well, I did not want to move back to Alaska at all. I left as soon as I could after high school. I was just ready to go do the next big warmer thing. But yeah, I was in Colorado and I was doing fine. I mean, my job was, I was starting to get pretty overwhelmed. I just was kind of in over my head with all the different places that I put myself and the things that I took on. And
I'm the son of two teachers.
Yep.
I know. Yep.
Feeling it, and I was there by myself. I mean, I had my friends, my colleagues, but I was there just totally on my own. And I had kind of felt the stirring of maybe I wanted to move and do something else. And as a teacher kind of in the Denver area, I was like, I'm never going to be able to buy a house. Like, if I want to get my life set up in my own direction on my own, I'm going to have to move, and I'm going to wish I had done it sooner rather than later. So I actually got a call from an old high school teacher, and she's like, hey, I know this is so weird. She's like, but just hear me out. She's like, you had mentioned last time we talked to you that you thought about moving or kind of changing things. And I was like, yeah, you know, in a year, maybe two, maybe three, I don't really want to leave yet. And she's like, well, we have this job, and everybody wants to work at our school, but we just can't get somebody that we want, that we like, that wants to be here. She's like, can I just keep getting this weird feeling that this job is for you? And I was like, well, not if it's in Alaska. There's no possible way, because I'm not going back up there ever, ever. And she's like, okay. But I told my mom about it, and my mom still lives up here, and I thought she'd be thrilled and tried to kind of talk me into it. And she was like, that's a terrible idea. She's like, do not move back up here. Like, you're not going to be happy. You don't want to be up here. I was like, I know.
Right.
And then a couple of days went by, and a week or so went by, and I was like, oh my gosh, I think I should go back up there. I was like, gosh, dang it. And so I applied with them, and they called me back, and they're like, were you talking to Nicole before your interview? I was like, no. And they're like, it's like you were reading our paper. You said like exactly what we were thinking. And so I don't know, it just worked really well. And I felt like, so many of the things that I'd done beforehand, I made some really great choices, and I'm so glad that I went to all the places that I did, and I experienced all the things that I did, and I accomplished all these things that I had. But it was hard. It was like I was pushing a boulder up a mountain for years, and everyone was like, what are you doing? Why are you doing it that way? Where are you going? And I just kind of felt like I was defying everything, which was good, but it was so difficult. And moving here, it was like, God was just like, go, child. Like, I just had this amazing sense of like, I've set this up for you. It's ready for you. Like, falling into this couldn't be any easier.
Mm-hmm. I was just going to ask you, how was God part of the process of whether to come or not? Or,
well, that was the thing, is one day I woke up and I really just felt like he was like, you almost can't help but go. Like, I've made it so unbelievably the most perfect, easy next step that you're almost kind of getting pushed into. Mm-hmm. I was trying to avoid it, but after trying to kind of claw after everything for years, it just really did have a different feel to it. And I knew that it was a God thing, because I didn't want to move back. So I was like, if there's a desire or a push, I was like, that is completely from outside myself.
Mm-hmm. So that's cool.
Yeah.
So you come back up here, you get a job.
So I came back up, you know, and in Colorado we were doing well. My kids were performing well, and everybody wanted to be in my class. And if a kid had
a cool teacher,
I was, well, I say this for a point in a minute.
Okay.
and you know, if there was a kid that had a behavior problem, like, they'd usually get, if they could, they'd get put in my class. So I had everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And I move up here, and I'm like, oh yeah, I can do this. This is my fourth year teaching. This will be great. They're excited to have me. God put me here. And I thought that that would probably be for this job, you know.
Right.
It seems like this job is for you, is what I kind of kept getting told. And so I was here for about 2 months, and everything was great. And teachers were coming up and like, man, the kids just can't say enough good things, and they love your lessons. And I was like, great. And then everything fell to pieces. And moving back home to your hometown and not having been here, you know, for 6-7 years, and everybody kind of hearing about what you're doing, then coming back and then just totally falling apart in front of everyone, felt like just a mess. I just felt like my whole identity was broken and shattered, and I got really sick, and we didn't know why. And I thought my plan was just to come back up for a little while. And so I asked my mom if they have kind of a separate apartment area of their house, and I asked if I could just stay there while I was up here for maybe 9 months. You know, I was like, I'll come up for the school year and then probably leave again, because it's Alaska.
On to the next adventure.
So thankfully, you know, and God knew all of this beforehand, but you know, I was at my mom's house, and she was able to just really kind of watch me and take care of me, because I truly needed help. Like, every day I got so sick, and my poor students, and I've talked to all of them about it, but they just had to like bear with me and crawl with me through the school year. I mean, I would have to take a nap during the school day, because I just could not stay awake, and I just felt so awful, and I'd wake up super nauseous and have to have a sub all the time. And so then I was really confused because I was like, I thought I came up here to like do a really great job at this job, and I couldn't do it if I wanted to. And I did not cope well. It caught me so off guard. I mean, I've been sick kind of my whole life, but this was a whole nother level of just being completely incapable.
And how are you and God getting along with this?
I think I totally forgot that he existed. I was so sick and I was so confused and angry, and I just dealt with it so poorly and didn't do anything that I normally did. Mm-hmm. Started things that I had never done before. Like it was a dark time in my life, and I hurt other people and I hurt myself, and yeah.
You're not like that.
So
now,
yeah. So then what next? So I just finally, you know, my mom is a nurse, and she was like, "We're going to the doctor." She's like, "You're now 5 years old again, and I'm taking you back to the doctor with me because we have to figure out what's going on with you." And I've gone to the doctor my whole life for different things, and I can't stand it. So I kind of let her drag me, you know, in my mid 20s. And we figured out kind of what was going on a little bit, enough to get me back on track, and I could kind of see things clear and start making better decisions again and remember the conversations that I'd been having. I was really struggling to remember things like that. And so that was getting better. And I just kind of knelt back down with God, and I just prayed more than I've ever prayed in my entire life, probably combined. I mean, I felt like I was just praying all day long, every day on my knees.
And kind of what were your prayers? Yeah, what were your prayers?
At first they were just brokenness, just crying and confusion and guilt and shame that I just finally admitted to him. And I knew that he knew them. I've never kind of had this idea like I can hide from God.
Right.
So I didn't feel like I was telling him anything he didn't already know. But I knew that he wanted me to know them and me to put them together in a sentence enough for me to truly understand how everything was getting connected, and to tell him about them so that I could bring him into the conversation, because he's never going to force himself. So that's how it started.
And summer comes along.
And then summer comes along and things get better. And
there's no teaching to do.
Well, and so I told the school pretty much, I mean, I started in August, you know, at the beginning, and by the time November rolled around, I was like, I should probably go. Like, I'm not doing well. I don't know what's going on. In November, I was kind of hanging on still. And they were like, you know, if you can stay, like, we would love to keep you. And I didn't tell them enough for what was going on. Looking back, I probably should have. I was like, okay. But then by February, you know, the next semester had started, and I was like, you have to find someone for next year. There's no way. Because it just didn't feel like it was ever going to matter. Right. It felt like that was the rest of my life was going to be like that.
And, yeah, and you're not serving your students.
No, well, not at all. Oh, that was so, that was probably the worst part. That was so painful for me. And I was like, you just need to get somebody else in here, because I don't know what's going on. And, so they did. And just kind of having that weight off my shoulders was nice. And I went into the summer, I had no idea what I was going to do. And I went down to Mississippi, Jackson, Mississippi, and did a Hebrew program, which was amazing. It's this intensive course. I had to come back early for some things, but that was amazing. So I was down there for a month just trying to learn Hebrew.
And how was your health during that time?
It was manageable. And I told my professor, like, there's going to be a couple days where I'm not here, and I just want you to know ahead of time. That's just kind of where I'm at. But I was able to keep up. And I mean, I'd go and I'd sat in class, and I could go sit at home. So it wasn't requiring a bunch of energy from me, which was good, because otherwise it would have been more of a struggle. But I could just sit and rest with God. And knowing that, you know, I was studying the Lord and the languages that the Lord's words were written in for the very first time, really kept me going. Mm-hmm. So,
Barak. I love to hear people speak.
Oh my gosh,
Hebrew.
I know.
Yeah. All right. So then it's what, probably August now?
Yeah, it's about August, and I didn't know what I was going to do with my life. And I was like, the only thing I know how to do is teach. I've been doing that since I was tiny, tiny. And so I talked with my alma mater, actually, which also blew my mind, because I was like, I'm never going to go back in that building, let alone teach there. But I was so excited, and I felt barely better, but I felt like I could stay awake during the day. So I was like, you know, I can try this again. And so I was going to work there, and then I was on the way to drive to a doctor's appointment. This is, I mean, seriously, probably 2 weeks before school starts, maybe a week and a half. I'm on the way to a doctor's appointment, and I get a phone call. from one of the pastors at church. And I thought she was going to ask me to not come back.
Yeah, let's go back. So as you're teaching, when did you become an adult leader, a volunteer in the high school ministry?
Oh, yeah. So I moved back in August. And then I started, I think, in February.
Yeah, that's my memory is like in the middle of the winter, you joined our team.
Yep.
Which, for those of you that don't know, we break up into small groups after the message, and the adults lead different discussion groups and a bunch of other stuff we do. But Autumn joined our team January or February.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're doing teaching and doing that because your passion for kids and high school students. Mm-hmm. And then summer rolls around, and okay, you're probably thinking you want to continue to do that in the fall, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely. Definitely. Definitely plan on coming back onto the
be involved in youth culture, the
team.
Ministry.
Yeah. And yeah, thanks for backing us up there. Yeah. So I've been around for a minute. You know, and you know when you join something, it's like you kind of feel like you're in the background and you're just there as a little supporter, and nobody's really remembering the things that you say later. But you're just there to, you know, keep the mission going. And so I didn't think anything of it, you know. I mean, it's just something you do, somewhere you go, something you're part of, and then
you did feel you were making a difference.
Yeah, okay, but like a sense. A sense is in. Like there was going to be a next step.
I'd like to keep doing this again.
I didn't even know there was a next step, you know, at all.
All right, so you get this phone call, and you're like,
so I get this phone call, and she had asked me like a month ago if we could check in, and I thought it was to ask, you know, if I wanted to come back on the team for this year. But then we had already talked about that, so she's calling me again, and she doesn't usually call; she's usually a texter. And so I was like, oh my gosh, what is this about? And she gets on the phone and I was like, hey. And she's like, hey, is this a good time? And I was like, oh no, nobody ever asks you, is this a good time? And I was like, yeah, this is a great time. You know, I'm trying to like speak into existence, this great thing she's going to say anyway. And she's like, okay, well, I had this thing I wanted to talk to you about, and I wasn't going to bring it up with you, but I just felt like God really put it on my heart. I'm just going to let him take our conversation and just kind of see where it goes. And I was like, oh my gosh, I was just running. I was shaking. I was like, what did I do? What did I say?
Yeah. Whatever I did, I didn't do it on purpose.
I know. I was like, oh,
I'm
I was like
so sorry.
Creating that in my head right before she's even talking. She's like, well, I was wondering if you wanted to come on staff at the church. And I literally, I'm so glad I had just gotten in my car to start driving. And I'm so glad I hadn't started the car yet, because I was just stunned. And I was like, what did you just say? And she's like, yeah, I just, you know, have appreciated you at youth culture, and I just know you're kind of looking for that next thing, and I know you had planned on teaching, but I wondered if you wanted to do this. And I was like, yeah, I was like, that sounds great, I would love to do that in my spare time, is what I was thinking. I was like, let's totally talk later. So we meet, well, so then I go to the doctor's appointment, and as I'm there, we went over some more results, and she's like, I just don't think you should go back to teaching, like, it's just not a good time, you are not healthy enough, like, you just, your body needs to rest.
You can't meet the physical demands.
No, and she was like, honestly, looking at some of these things, she's like, you know, you're looking at, and she was trying to be serious with me, and she's like, you're looking at like ending your life early if you can't get this under control.
Wow.
And I was like, wow, no one has ever quite said it that dramatically to me. So, and again, I just had this conversation with this pastor on the way to this doctor's appointment. And so I meet like a week later, and she kind of hands me the piece of paper. She's like, so these would kind of be your hours. These would be what you do. And I was like, okay, I can definitely, I was like, it's going to be a lot, but I can fit that in after school, which would have been a total lie. There's no way I would have had time for that at all. But I was like, I can make it work.
But you really wanted
like,
to do it.
I did so badly. I was like, at a church? Me? Are you kidding? And she's like, no, you're going to, you know, you have to be there for meetings on Tuesdays and it's during the day. And I was like, well, it's like, I'd have to quit my job. Like, I'd have to be like, I'm not going to teach anymore. School's starting seriously at this point in about a week. It's like, I have to tell the school to find a new teacher. I was like, I don't know how I can possibly do that. And she's like, I know. She's like, that's why I didn't want to call you. She's like, but God just told me to not say no for you. And I was like, okay, well, I'm going to have to seriously think about it. So I call my husband on the drive home, and I'm like, I just got this crazy offer, but I can't teach. And he's like, well, then obviously you can't do it. I mean, he was so quick to be like, oh, well, that's a bummer. I was like, why though? And he's like, because you have another job. Like, he thought I was kidding.
Right.
I was like, no, like, what would it look like if we pretended like this was an option? Like, what would that look like? He's like, I don't even know. Like, I don't even know how you do that.
Right.
But I sat there and I just thought about what my doctor had told me right after I got that first phone call. And I was like, this timing is unreal. And so I went in, I talked to the school, and I was like, I have to put my health first. I truly, even if I didn't have this church job, like I have to do something else. And they're like, that's great. And I remember she was so kind. And I don't know if the women in that meeting are believers or not, but I mean, she just reached over and she held my hand and she's like, but just like, come back as much as you can. Like, come sub with us. Like, we want you in the building. And it just, it was so healing for me. I think too, God was so gracious in that, because the year before was just a complete wreck. Like, and my students are like, we love him as hard, but that was a disaster. I'm like, I know. And I'm so thankful for those first couple of years to show me I could do it. But I just felt like a failure coming home, you know, to my hometown. And these students are entrusted to me. That's, you know, like my mom's friend's daughter and my neighbor's cousin. It's like, it's people, you know, so it's not like you're doing this in the dark. And, but just, you know, them seeing in me, like, we want you to come back and we want to give you an opportunity because we know you. And then her to say that, I don't know, just that I was wanted and welcome in that space. I just had convinced myself that I was just awful and terrible. And I'm
letting everybody down.
And then there was no way to recover. And I was like, I have to move. Like, I just, I can't face these people anymore. And there was definitely a part of me, I responded really poorly to the situation that I had. I was so caught off guard. I was not prepared. I was not in a healthy headspace for it. And at the same time, like, it was just kind of an impossible situation. So I just felt so thankful to be able to get welcomed back if I wanted to, and not feel like I was just this outcast of the entire town.
So, so now you've been released from having to work, and then you said yes to working at the church.
And it's just been such an amazing thing. I had just told, you know, so I started then in August, and in December, so like, what is that, 4 months? August, September, October, November,
like
December,
yeah.
4 months. We had kind of the end of the year review with my boss, and she was like, so how are things going? And I was like, I know this sounds crazy, and I probably shouldn't say this to you, like, as your employee. We're really good friends, but I was like, as your employee, I was like, but I think I'm just realizing that this is my job. And she laughs, and she's like, what do you mean? And I was like, I mean, like, I know that I work here, and obviously I'm doing all this stuff, but I work at a church. I was like, that's my, like, that's not something that I do. Like, that is my career in a way. I was like, that's a weird word to use, but my career isn't teaching anymore. So, like, I switched into ministry, and, like, this is my...
And so what
this
is your
the path
work?
I'm on.
Kind of what do you do?
Just
basically,
I am,
for our listeners.
Yes, my fancy title is the Youth Culture Administrative Assistant. And we don't have an administrator for me to be the assistant to, but I'm the administrative assistant, which I just think
give
is
perfect.
Give
me some time. I'll come up with a really good title for you. I'm really good at titles.
Yes. But yeah, I kind of work in the background, and I just get all our administrative stuff set up. And one of my favorite things is during the week I get to meet with a student and prepare for student life, which, as you know, is part of our youth culture time, where at the beginning a student gets up and just shares part of their life, their testimony, their story, things they're wrestling with about
God. That was
God,
the basis of our, this podcast, was
hearing
these stories.
Yeah, all those students on here. So
now sharing those stories with more than the people in that room.
So just, I get to meet with them and just kind of walk through, you know, what they want to share and help them kind of pin down just the heart of their message. So I get to do really neat things like that with students. And then I do the computer stuff and all that.
The administrative stuff that comes with any jobs. Now, now you see yourself as a career-wise,
Yeah, being in ministry, I guess, in some role. My husband just started a class in, what's it called? The Alaska Bible College in Palmer, Alaska. And so he's taken a class there and is just kind of dipping his toes into what it looks like to study the Bible and ministry. And I went down, like I said, last summer to that Hebrew class to kind of get started. So I'm looking at next steps. I'm looking at schooling and kind of things. I don't really know what the job goal is, but
right now it's just taking next steps.
Taking the next step, And I just, I love looking at the origin of things and ways to kind of contextualize and humanize the stories that we read.
Yeah, you can see where your skill set of English teacher and understanding literature and storytelling and words.
Yeah.
With the Bible is stories and words and what it means to be human. And with the added thing of and a relationship with Jesus, mm-hmm. and how that kind of fits, right?
Yeah.
Looking back, like how he's kind of weaving this thing together.
I know. I'm enjoying his storytelling, and I'm just like, oh, what do you have next?
Yeah.
Like, what connects that I don't see, or what's going to be kind of your next move? So, yeah, I'm just so thankful to get to. I always say, kind of like, just witness him so closely. I mean, he's doing these things with or without me, so I'm just unbelievably amazed and humbled that I get to sit so close into some of these stories that he tells and the ways that he moves.
Any last thoughts before we wrap things up for this episode?
Yes, actually, I was looking through my Bible in 1 Samuel 16:7 says that people look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. I just feel like so much of my story has been me focused on like how people see me, and not as it means something for me, but I'm like, but if you have a negative opinion about me, I let you down and I did something wrong and I didn't support you the way that I would have wanted to. And so I've always been, and I still am, just focused on that. But that reminder that like the Lord looks at your heart, and just looking back at the times where I felt like I was, or truly was just letting everybody down. Mm-hmm. You know, he knew where I was, and he knew when I was in a good spot, when I was in a rougher spot. And just being so thankful that he looks at you and knows you and then just puts you in that right next thing.
Right. So as you're focused on letting people down, he's focused on just loving you for who you mm-hmm. are, and that he created you to be who you are.
Building you up for that next yeah. thing, pushing you forward. Yeah. He's so gracious.
Well. Yeah. That's a story. That's a journey. Like, you should write a book.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, you're gonna have to help me
as
with
an
all the
English
titles.
Teacher,
Thank you so much for having me.
You're
this
welcome.
Really
well,
great.
That's another podcast in the books.
In
See
the
what
books.
I did there?
So
another
good.
Podcast in the books.
So good.
excuse me. And as always, don't forget to subscribe to wherever you get your podcasts. And I guess I should announce that Autumn's going to be leading some of the conversations.
Oh, yeah, we almost missed that. Yeah. I got so distracted. Yeah. Yes, I'm so excited.
Yeah, you guys will get tired of hearing me. We'll have a different voice. And Autumn will be podcasting, I guess would be the word, having conversations with students and other leaders. And just stories are powerful, whether they're written down or verbal. And we get to tell those. So, again, don't forget to subscribe to wherever you get your podcasts. And as always, thanks for listening to the ACF Youth Culture Podcast, Honest, Real Life. And this is Brian.
This is Autumn.
Till next time.
Bye, guys.
Happy reading.